second half of the show, coming to you live from the Kintech studio. It's the People's Show on a Friday. I haven't hosted a Friday show in about 6 weeks. I forgot the intro for that. It's BFF, Brett Festerling Fridays. You'll be hearing Brett plenty on our game broadcast, intermissions with myself and Sat, and on the post games as well, joining us when you call, text in, so Brett gets to experience all of that as well. Brett, what's going on, man?
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, 8 weeks, more like it. Today, Charlie, join us again. You hear him on Sports 650 quite a bit. What are we going to say?
No, it's going great. It's playoff time.
Absolutely. I was just talking to Ken Priestley, a former Cup champion, former NHLer, and the thing that we talk a lot about this Canucks team is the thing that they don't have over Nashville is the experience, right? They went to the bubble, but it's been downplayed, that whole experience. So this is going to be the first true like playoff feel for them. And these days, leading up to it, I guess, can be a bit nerve-wracking. What was the first playoff experience like for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you get the first taste of it in junior, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then pro, it's just everything's ramped up. It's details, it's intensity. The locker room becomes a classroom for a lot of it. You're getting kind of binders of material and a lot of video work in terms of forecheck in the ozone, forecheck in the neutral zone. You're going to go over usually every dot in terms of what the other team does on wins and losses for each dot in the ozone and the D zone, and then even all five neutral zone. They might have different forechecks. What guy's coming at you? Is there two guys coming at you? There's a lot of kind of X's and O's to go over. And then a lot of teams will break down literally every player. You'll go over every single player, what they do well. The scouting staff will put their kind of thing in that. And then you'll actually go around the room usually and talk to guys that have played with other guys. What do they get mad over? Do they retaliate? They get really upset if you give them an extra hack and they come back. So it's very detailed, a lot of stuff coming at you in kind of 2 days, nose and personnel and what to do. So it's taking it in and then trying to apply it to practice here for 2 days and then getting to it on Sunday.
So no sleepless nights? Because I imagine once the game starts, everything kind of just walks, you know, washes away. But the night before, or the 3 days leading up to, anxiety, nervousness, what was it?
Yeah, it's a bit of anticipation. I would say depending on how you feel about the team, you have the kind of,
right,
like your exam, right, the next day. If you've studied and you put in the work and you feel confident, it's more like a little nervous. So I guess you're just putting in the work and feeling comfortable with where you're at, but there's definitely anxiety. And then the first period, sometimes you forget there's a puck out there, and I expect that to be really physical. And then once that first 20 is out of the way, you kind of settle down and then play some hockey.
Yeah, was there a, this feels a little bit different moment for you in that opening 20?
Yeah, the gear goes up. It's just like, holy, I didn't know this could ramp up this much, mm-hmm. And then you're just in it. And it's just guys flying around, and guys are on top of you. Those margins for errors and the time you have to handle pucks is just completely different. And then coming out with the crowd, and I expect the Canucks crowd obviously have the white towels out and have that going. So it's just, you get those butterflies and it's elevated. It's a good feeling, but it's also nerve-wracking in the moment.
Talking to Brett Festerling here on the People Show, getting ready for Sunday game one against the Nashville Predators, 7 o'clock here on Sportsnet 650. So many matchups and things to consider. I wanted to focus on the D pairings and the D-men. You're the D-man, so the guys that are, to me, the two most important skaters. I did my own 10-player draft here, and the two skaters I had highest, I had Hughes, Demko, and then Josi. So I want to talk about Hughes and Josi right now, because it's not as if it's just like, oh, okay, one guy's a bruiser, one guy's a power play guy. They're two very similar styles, kind of competing for one puck and who's going to influence this game. And how does that like interplay, do you feel like, goes into this? Because they both love to have the puck on the stick. It's not as if it's quick out of the zone and just hit a breakout pass. They both love to carry the puck. They both love to dominate possession of it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting just to see how the coaches play this, right? Like if they go kind of top line versus top line and really let the horses go at each other, then you might see those guys go head-to-head. But usually there's coaching decision to get those away after one team loses, right? You try to get away from matchups that aren't working. So I don't know. I would love to see them go head to head the first game and see where that plays out, but I'm guessing, yeah, they're going to want to share it a bit more and they'll split it up and see if they can take advantage of it. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some double shifting for Hughes or Hronek down the lineup in Nashville a bit, just to see where that depth is and see if they can maybe add a little more offensive punch to, say, like a Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua, just see if they can take advantage of that.
Because usually we talk about the forward lines matching up together, right? And if it's going to be Lindholm versus O'Reilly, O'Reilly versus Miller, or whatever it is. But to me, it would be rather interesting to see the two guys competing for the one puck, and if you should put out Hughes versus Josi, and I guess trying to contain Josi's offensive numbers that way rather than just throwing Lafferty, Mikheyev bodies at him and plowing him through the boards. Because you know at some point he's going to get it and he's going to create offense. Do you mitigate his threat by having the puck with Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, the best defense is a good offense kind of thing.
Yeah.
You limit his possession numbers by possessing the puck yourself. Yeah,
mind you, the risk of that is, well, Josi can possess it away from Quinn Hughes too.
Yeah, and if you're going Josi and McDonough, they've been out normally with O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist, and that's one of the better lines as a five in the league, and they have been hot since kind of mid-February. So, yeah, I would like to see that. I'm sure that we'll see that at least once through this playoff to see how that goes. But it'll be interesting, yeah, exactly, how much can you share that puck, and then does one come up over the other? Because you have seen, I guess, Miller. Was it Miller against Eichel? I didn't really like that matchup. Like, I would like to see if it does turn out positive for the Canucks, or if the Predators speed there, you just don't want to eat up valuable time with Hughes trying to defend there.
If you were Andrew Burnett and you're running the Preds bench, which center do you think you put O'Reilly out on?
To start, I want to go against Miller. I think O'Reilly's one of the heart and soul, gritty power guys of the last decade, and so is Miller, and they're both emotional leaders, and I think that's a good way to just, like, get that out. Get your 20 group of 20 guys going is to put those two guys head to head and just let them old school kind of go at it and just see where that plays out. That's what I would do. I think that'll bring up everybody. There shouldn't be any passengers anyway, but I think that'll bring everybody up to speed real quick.
All right. So then in that reality, I'm trading you to the other side. Then now, JT Miller's up against Ryan O'Reilly. What stands out for you of what he's got to do against that matchup? Because we've seen, you know, St. Louis against Vancouver, right? Ryan O'Reilly went on various players and was very effective of limiting some damage. What are the difficulties going up against him if that manifests for JT Miller?
Well, he's going against a player that's very similar to him in terms of motion and physicality. So he's going to have to win that battle. The reason I like that is because I feel like JT's been gearing up for that for the last 8 weeks. We've seen him raise his intensity, raise his emotion, but in a focused way, raise his physicality. And I think if he can do that against O'Reilly, it sets a tone for the team that you don't need to worry about those guys. It's almost like take the head off the snake a bit in terms of the emotional, physical leader on the front end. So I think that would send a really powerful message through the Nashville group. It can kind of neutralize that and get the positive puck possession there.
Are you then trying to get Lindholm out against O'Reilly too?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Lindholm's... I think that third line is going to be so pivotal just because you get a second option for a shutdown and Lindholm for faceoffs and exactly that, trying to control possession with a third line that's been one of the better third lines with puck possession and driving play all year, and those two guys. Or if they do want to go head-to-head with Miller, then you want that team or that line to take advantage like to have all year in terms of dominating other third lines and getting that possession. And if the top six or the top whatever neutralize each other, then Lindholm,
right,
that line can be the difference maker. Really, they can be the absolute, you know, knife, the stake in the heart of Nashville if they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I look at Nashville sometimes and the roster itself doesn't feel overwhelming, right? And a lot of Canucks fans wanted this matchup against Nashville. And then you watch how they play here recently, and it's very, you know, high tempo, trying to engineer, you know, fast break style offense. And while it looks attractive and it feels threatening, I don't know how much that translates to the playoffs. And I almost feel the Canucks almost match up rather perfectly to that because they've almost had this insistence to not get caught in exchanging chances. And defenders are willing to drop off to maintain two guys back and not getting caught in odd man rushes.
Yeah, Canucks have done a good job of playing Canuck hockey, not necessarily getting caught up in other team strategies or plans or trying to trade, exactly like you said. The thing to me that makes Nashville dangerous is a team getting hot in the right time of year that's bonding over something silly. Now, if people haven't followed that news line or that narrative, they canceled the U2 concert, right? And then they went on this 18-game point streak, which is the silliest thing ever. But if you remember the St. Louis story about those guys in the dumps and taking the whole team out and going to the bar, and that's where Gloria came from. Those are the weird things that teams bond over, and then you get some wins, and this thing just snowballs. So the thing that's scary about Nashville is a team getting hot at the right time of year that's bonding over something silly, and they're the underdogs. So they just get to kind of play here. So that makes them dangerous. Are they threatening on paper? Not necessarily. And if you looked at the teams on paper, they're probably what 90% of the league would have picked, if not more, in terms of going against Vegas or Dallas or the Oilers. But they have been really good in the last 6-8 weeks, and they're playing for each other. So they're not going to be a pushover. It's definitely going to be a hard series.
So what you're saying is the Pearl Jam concert and the Justin Timberlake concert at Rogers Arena are huge key moments in this series? Because set up a date to go party and be like, you know what, pull it out. And just be like, no, we're not going to that game. We're sorry, we're not going to that concert. And galvanizing moment for you.
I'm saying a team playing as a team is a dangerous thing, and they're doing that. But you know what? The Canucks have too, and we've seen things. If you look into little things like the T-shirts,
yeah,
Garland's 400 and some of the behind-the-scenes thing, even to Smith getting that win a couple games ago, and there's Demko getting hugged down the hallway. Those things point in the right direction for the Canucks and show a team as well. So that's positive as well.
You know, a reality exists, and Canucks fans have seen it, right? Like we're one player, you know, the extracurriculars can distract from the game and kind of take over the series. If a scenario develops where the Canucks show that they're the better team, and I was kind of doing my draft earlier of the players, and it favored heavily towards Canucks players higher up in the draft. I came up with 5-5. We'll have you do the exercise here in a moment, but I came up with like Hughes, Demko, Yossi, Miller, Pettersson, Forsberg. So it's shaded towards a bunch of Canucks, and it shows that they're clearly better. And suddenly, the lower end of the Nashville lineup is maybe trying to create the extracurriculars, which you know is going to happen anyway. It's the playoffs, but to not get distracted at that moment. How do you maintain focus in that?
I mean, that's kind of what playoffs is about. Okay? We talked about what it's like leading up to playoffs. Every single playoff that I think I've ever been a part of, you talk about taking the punch or the stick work or, you know, looking at a guy's face as he's trying to get you going. You've seen some of that with, like the finger jokes in Boston and all that stuff, right? Guys trying to egg guys on and other guys just kind of laughing in their face, which makes a lot of the guys more mad. So that's a strategy going in. We talk about every playoff team talks about it. It's going to be intense. You're going to get pushed to the brink and you need to stay out of it. So it's really just staying out of it and focusing and make sure that you don't get sucked in because you're putting the team in a disadvantage if you do that. So that's a boring answer, but that's kind of the way it is. You got to suck it up and deal with it.
All right. Let's do this exercise here. We've done it before in the past when we're discussing the LA Kings. You're looking at the two rosters right now, Nashville and Vancouver. As far as the guys who can influence this series, kind of rank them in order here and cap it at 10.
Cap it at 10. This is just homework. like I'm a full-time sportsman. Okay, mine's heavy Canucks too. Obviously, we haven't seen Nashville since December, mm-hmm. right? So it's hard, and they've been a much better team second half of the year. My first, and I keep in mind, I don't know your order.
Okay.
One, I got Demko.
Okay, so
you have a one.
Yeah, I went Hughes, Demko, Josi, Miller, Pettersson as my first five.
Okay, I went Demko because of the last month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks good in, but I think he has the ability to win a series by himself, and I just don't. Is he 100% healthy? I think so. Is his 100% mm-hmm. for timing and confidence and all that? I don't know. So I put him at one. I put Petey at two.
Wow, okay.
Mainly because I don't necessarily know what I'm going to get. He needs to be a difference maker. He can be a difference maker, but I think his swing and what we've maybe seen in, call it February, March, to what we need him to be, there's a kind of gap there, and I think that changes the series completely.
Well, just because we spent time talking about Miller, O'Reilly, Lindholm, and all the matchups, well, someone might get exposed with a favorable matchup, and the way we discussed it, it might be Elias Pettersson. So if you're in a favorable matchup, you better win. You better influence the series.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Three, I got Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, three, four is Hughes, Josi. And okay. then we just talked about those.
Yeah.
Very explanatory. They're two of the best in the league, and they're both captains, and they can make a huge difference. Five, I got Forsberg. He's their biggest offensive threat. He's played great down the stretch. He's fast, and he's going to be challenging for anybody that has to go against them. Six, Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I expect him to be an emotional leader, and I know what I'm going to get of him, but obviously he needs to show up, and then he's going to be a tough match. It's going to be checked hard every single night. You have Nashville that I believe fourth ranked in hits in terms of physicality, and Canucks in five. So you got a physical series coming up that's going to be hard, and Miller's going to get a lot of it and a lot of attention. Seven, I got Lindholm.
Okay. So he's the one I left out of my list. Just because I felt like the depth isn't there for Nashville. And as we were discussing, is it going to be a matchup role for him? Is it going to be the depth role where he gets to win a lower down the lineup matchup? And so I wasn't sure where to place him. And I just thought someone like Ryan McDonough to me was just that hair bit more important. And he's had a fantastic season himself, because Lindholm's form going into the playoffs while improving hasn't really been at the spot we thought we'd see.
Yeah, and I think I would use your exact same arguments for why I put him in.
Right.
As if he gets that third line matchup that's favorable, we want him to step up. Like there's going to be a mismatch somewhere in this lineup. Somebody's going to need to step up, whether it's depth or not. I think Lindholm's easy got to look at and say, okay, putting you down the lineup's not necessarily where we got you or where we wanted you probably in terms of when they traded for him. But he's in a spot where he could take huge advantage on the offense side, or if he gets the matchup and can shut down one of their higher lines, then Petey or Miller should get that favorable lineup and add that way. So that's why I have him there.
I think you're at eight
and
now.
What?
I think you're at number eight now.
Saros.
Okay.
I didn't know if I put Saros or not. Goalies are so good in playoffs. It's just like one of those.
Yeah.
It hasn't been his best year, I don't think, but he has played pretty good down the stretch.
A lot of goalies would love a 9-0-6 season, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just goalies are so important in playoffs no matter who you are. And to not put them on the list is, I think you need the goalies because they can make such a big difference. Nine, McDonough. Same with you, just like
yeah,
the leadership, the shutdown capabilities. He plays with Josi. He's going to be probably matched up against, you know, our top guys for the same reason we need our big guys to come through on the offensive side. That's what he's shutting down and then trying to contribute on the offensive side as well. And he's probably their biggest, you know, experienced guy in terms of winning a cup. He's been to the finals with the Rangers. He had a lot there, and that's really important for a team like Nashville, I believe.
All right, man, good stuff. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Okay, talk Sunday.
Can't wait. He is Brett Fetterling, former NHLer, Vancouver Giant, here on Sportsnet 650. Sunday, he'll be part of the intermissions and the postgame with myself, Bick Nizar, and Satyar Shah as game one against the Nashville Predators is on the horizon. On Fridays, we like to end off a little fun here as we head into the weekend. A little more intensity going into this weekend, though. It's Guys Naming Dudes. Don't got to be a guy to play along. Just text in 650-650. We like to give you a prompt. Just go down memory lane and reminisce some things. And we usually pick a team or a position or something. This couldn't be the easiest. We couldn't have had an easier prompt. It's Nashville Predators. Text in Nashville Predators that you remember from back in the day. I'll kick things off with Radek Bonk. How about a reference there? Radek Bonk. Elon, what do you got?
I'm going to go Darcy Hordichuk.
Classic. Hey, look, we always favor the ones if you can get a Canuck in there as well. 650, 650.
The guy that shares the name with my hometown, Vernon Fiddler.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, he's in Canucks lore. Absolutely. That's Victor behind the glass. Chef Swagger. David Leguant. David Leguant. First, Cliff Running. Shane O'Brien. All texting in, coming in. Shane O'Brien's hugely popular in this area. Maybe we'll see Shane O'Brien in town.
Jordan Tutu, that's a good one.
Jordan Tutu's coming in. Dan Ellis, what about Ryan Ellis? One of my favorite players.
Going to throw a young Dan Hamhuis in there.
Yeah, of course. Cody Hodgson, yeah. Look, the people have brought it strong here in the inbox. 650, 650. Finding ways to fit in Canuck ones. Martin Erat, always a popular one when you're thinking of the Predators. The trade that brought them Philip Forsberg. Joel Ward. Scott Walker. Oh, how can we forget Scott Walker? Of course. Of course. Great reference. Paul Kariya. Peter Forsberg. Pekka Rinne. Drake Barahowski. We're just shouting names. I love Fridays. I miss Guys Naming Dudes for like 6 weeks. It's fantastic. Pekka Rinne. There's a goalie that was intimidating a great deal. Curious to see, well, you know, what Saros feels like. The crowd chant of, is it on Sunday, is the crowd going to chant UC or is it going to be Saros? You know, when you're serenading. They're both two syllables. They both work. I'm pumped to see how the crowd reacts. Scott Hartnell, Mike Fisher. Somebody texted in Carrie Underwood as well.
Carrie Underwood's husband.
Yes. Yes.
That's all he's known as.
He's a good player, man. He had a great career. Mike McKenna. Yeah. Fantastic shouts in the inbox. All right. It was a abbreviation of Guys Naming Dudes. But it's going to happen. Sometimes, some playoffs, you got to shorten the lineup, shorten the bench. And you know, we put out Brett Festling for a long shift today. We'll do that again on Sunday when we all reconvene on Sunday for game one. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for all the submissions today. Get ready. We'll see you later to your loved ones because Sunday, I know you're going to be busy. I know you're going to be locked in. Can't wait to hear from you on the post-game show and the pre-game show with Sat and Dan. It's all going to get real on Sunday. Sat and Dan on the way here on Canucks Central, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.